We're discussing the traction with Right to Repair and how manufacturers are responding. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Now let's get a read on our year-end membership drive. I'm here with the Rob Ferret. Rob, hi.
Hey, Kate. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, old pal, in the afternoon of Central Time. Oh, we can say your show name here.
We could plug my show. Sure. Why not? I'm here in the morning. It's great. I already managed to lose track of my wallet and my glasses, but I've tracked
them down. Because there's
no
light in the morning, Rob.
Yeah.
Have you noticed? We work in the without
in the
sun.
Darkness. Yeah. I found those things, though, and I found an update here. 10 gifts last hour, Kate, in this drive, but I'm really excited about this now. We have a dollar-for-dollar match this hour, up to $3,000. This is from current members, including Gene, a supporter in Madison, who loves WPR, and it means they're going to match every dollar that you give this hour.
See, they bring the Rob Ferret, and then they bring the dollars. I mean, this is a pretty amazing year. This is their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your support for the programs you love. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, this is the last weekday of the drive, your last chance to give during the morning show, plus this extra challenge, a great time to give. But mainly, of course, you're going to give because you enjoy listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. In part, maybe that's because we're commercial free. That means we depend on other sources of funding. State and federal and business sponsors are important. There's another source that's very important, too.
Yes, indeed. The largest piece of the funding for WPR programs comes from you. Your support makes all the difference. It is the backbone of how things work here. And when you give, you keep the quality, the independent, the news, the talk, all the things that you love about your public radio on the air. So make your gift now. It is the 11th hour. That is okay. It won't set you back. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Whether you tune in for one favorite program or you find yourself checking in throughout the day or the week, you're a regular listener because you value WPR. If you've never given before, start off with a gift of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You're going to love being a WPR member.
Today, you could win an Etsy gift card when you donate any amount for the programs you love. Etsy is a global marketplace for unique custom and handmade items. What would you look for?
A velvet Elvis painting. It's time to bring that trend back.
I've got my eye on a reclaimed wood bookcase.
I would buy Star Trek paraphernalia for my Trekkie-loving wife and son. Live long and prosper.
Five lucky winners will enjoy a $250 shopping spree at Etsy.com. Find all the details at WPR.org/drawing. You can't win if you don't enter. Make your gift of any amount now. Here's how.
Oh, yes. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer Kent here with Rob Ferret. Listener support, it is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that's why your support during this year-end member drive is so critical. Maybe your gift is set at $10 a month. Maybe you set it at $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Now you might be thinking, Rob, Kate, I love this idea. I'd love to give, but it's busy. It's a Friday morning. I don't have all kinds of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay because we value your time. We've got this streamlined so that giving to Wisconsin Public Radio takes really just a few minutes, three, 4 minutes maybe. Tell us your name, your contact info, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
See, it's super quick, super easy to do, and your gift right now really, really helps. So take the next few minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our dollar-for-dollar match is in effect this hour. There's lots of room right now, because we just started, for your gift to be matched up to $3,000. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR is going to go twice as far.
And it will go even further because this member drive, you can choose one of the food bank gifts. When you give a $10 or $20 a month, you'll provide meals for those in need in your area. So make a donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're not a sustainer, you can become one right now. It's easy to set up. You'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. When you do that, you provide reliable, ongoing support for the morning show and all the programs you love.
Shout out to Bonnie in Oconomowoc, says, I listen every day. Bonnie, thank you for making it a part of your life. Join in with Bonnie at WPR.org, and thank you. Now to the Right to Repair movement. President Biden signed an executive order earlier this year, essentially to make it easier and cheaper to repair your stuff. And then Apple says it's launching a self-repair program to provide parts, tools, manuals for do-it-yourselfers on iPhones and Macs. So would you fix your tech if you had the right tools? Should Wisconsin enact laws around right to repair? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Kevin O'Reilly is director of the U.S. Public Interest Research Group's Right to Repair campaign. That's U.S. PIRG. Kevin, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me on.
Hi. Can you put right to repair in your own words? How do you like to define it?
I think that right to repair is a lot about ownership, right? When you pay for something, you buy it. It's yours and you should be able to do what you want with it. Particularly, you should be able to fix it when it breaks. So you should have access to all the parts, all the tools, all the information like repair manuals and important repair software so that you can fix it yourself or you can have an independent technician do it for you. At the end of the day, consumers deserve that kind of repair choice. And, you know, that's really helpful for saving them money and also reducing electronic waste and making sure that we make the most of the electronics that we have.
We're going to get to the e-waste in a moment here. But essentially what you're saying is that consumers, once you buy a product, you shouldn't be attached at the hip to that manufacturer to keep going back to them if something goes wrong or for maintenance.
Exactly. You should have the choice, right? And the good news is that we do have right to repair for automobiles, right? So when your car breaks down, you have the choice of taking it back to the manufacturer where it's likely going to be more expensive, or you can try to fix it yourself, or you can take it to your mechanic on the corner. We think that this should be the case for smartphones, for laptops, for tractors, for devices across uses. And that's what we're really pushing for.
Well, one of those big suppliers, Apple, which forever had its products super locked down, has done that turnaround, announcing this self-repair program last month. So what is your take on what Apple is doing here in this shift?
This is a huge milestone and a really exciting achievement for the right to repair movement. I mean, Apple has been long one of the most visible opponents to repair access. For years, they've been saying that letting consumers fix their own stuff would lead to safety, security, and intellectual property risks. And with this new program, with the fact that they are enabling consumer repair, it shows that those concerns were overblown. And what, advocates, whether it's tinkerers, fixers, repair shops, environmental advocates, what we've been asking for all along was always possible. So this is, just a really exciting movement and a sign that right to repair is breaking through.
I wonder, though, will they really follow through? And I know I'm, skeptical journalist and such, but will this program really pan out for consumers and will it work?
I think a little bit of healthy skepticism is always good. What this program does is it'll start by providing access to, the most common repairs, things like your camera, your screen, your battery, only for the iPhone 12 and the iPhone 13. So that's a good start, but there's still a long way to go. And the right to repair legislation that we've seen introduced in, 27 states this year goes much further. It makes sure not only that consumers have access to this, but that independent repair shops have access to it. And it also doesn't just stop at Apple. We need to pass legislation to make sure that all Americans can fix all of their devices, regardless of the manufacturer, and we shouldn't have to wait for goodwill from their part.
Well, I want to push back here just a moment, because not everyone wants to repair their own devices, and sometimes tech products may be beyond repair. So why not advocate for laws that force manufacturers to make quality repairs at low cost with, you know, a lot of speed? Wouldn't that incentivize them to make higher quality stuff in the first place?
Well, you're absolutely right that not everybody wants to fix their own equipment, but we think that the best way to make sure that consumers can get that quick and, you know, cheap repair is to maximize the competition, make sure that there's different options for them. So again, that's the importance of independent repair shops, which have been, you know, really critical during the pandemic. At the outset, of the pandemic, Apple was shutting down a lot of their shops for the sake of social distancing. And, you know, it was independent repair shops that were still open that were able to fix folks' laptops that they were needing to Zoom into work or have their kids Zoom into school. We need to have a robust repair, industry, a robust repair market. And we believe that these right to repair reforms, by making all the information available, is the best way to do that.
Do you think that the pandemic environment was what made Apple change its mind, or what was behind this shift?
I think the shifts happened for a number of reasons. I mean, there has long been this really scrappy coalition that I was talking about of all sorts of people who like to fix their stuff and care about maximizing the use of our electronics. And we've been pushing, you know, primarily in the states for years. As I mentioned, we had 27 states that introduced legislation this year, but just 6 years ago, there were only about four states doing it. As this movement has built momentum, it's caught the attention not only of state legislators, but decision makers at the federal level. So you mentioned at the top of the hour, President Biden issued the executive order calling for the FTC to take action to, you know, really crack down on repair restrictions that currently exist. And the FTC followed that up really quickly, just a couple weeks later, with a bipartisan and unanimous vote to endorse right to repair and to start to take action. So those things have helped. And in addition to that, you know, there's also been work from shareholder advocates like Green Century Capital Management that really helped to make that happen.
We're going to get to that with Kevin O'Reilly, works on right to repair as part of the nonprofit consumer advocacy group US PIRG. We'll pick this up ahead on the Ideas Network. We're taking a closer look at the right to repair movement, what the future holds for fixing and maintaining our devices. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now let's turn to our year-end member drive that is underway. I'm here with Rob Ferret, and we're here to say your financial support is the foundation for all the great discussions you enjoy here every day. So make your tax-deductible year-end gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have our dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,000 in effect right now. It's a great time to donate because current members, including Gene, a supporter in Madison who loves WPR, are going to double every dollar you give. We've made a start getting toward that goal. A lot of room still. Room for your gift. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Double the impact of your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And here's why the Ideas Network, it keeps you informed and entertained every day, all day long. You get value from the morning show, from 1A, from Larry Mueller, from The Takeaway, and, oh yeah, this show called Central Time.
What?
And so many others you've come to rely on.
WPR gives you a window on the world like nothing else here in the state, or in most states, really. Support the exciting mix of shows you enjoy on the Ideas Network with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you've probably heard about our monthly giving program, and it's becoming so popular. Nearly half of our members are now sustainers, and it's easy to become a sustainer. All you have to do is set up automatic monthly gifts from your bank account or credit card.
In addition to funding the programs you love, here's an another great reason to sign up right now for ongoing monthly gifts. Sustainers are automatically entered in the drawing for a $250 Etsy.com gift card to spend on unique items, and you'll have five chances to win. Start your ongoing monthly gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This drive let the impact of your gift go beyond the WPR programs you love. Alliant Energy is partnering with us to help feed families in Wisconsin. They'll match up to 12,500 meals provided through Food Bank Thank You Gifts. Ask for yours today when you give $10 or $20 a month. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rob Ferret. Your support during this year-end member drive makes the WPR programs that you depend on possible. And your gift, you said it, $10, $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And whatever amount you choose, it gets doubled right now with this challenge going on. You support the things that make your life more meaningful. Wisconsin Public Radio is one of those things. Here you get info about events in our region and the world, and you also get music and humor and storytelling.
Of course, you get news and information that impacts your life, and your support now will make that all possible. So make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 with your gift of the amount that's right for you.
Our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. There's still room for your gift to be matched. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR is going to go twice as far.
And hey, if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. Super easy to set up monthly donations at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's a great way to provide ongoing support for the programs you love. Rob, take it away.
Mary Kay in Escanaba, Michigan says, I love your programs. Jane in Red Hook, New York says, I spend the summer in Janesville and enjoy listening to WPR. Thank you both. How about you? It's your turn. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.
Now, our country doesn't have laws in place that guarantee us consumers the right to repair, but that is all shifting as dozens of states are considering right to repair legislation. And as we talked about, Apple announced last month it'll start allowing people to repair their own products. Big step for the right to repair movement. How do you see it impacting your life, though? How might warranties be affected? Farmers, can you repair your equipment on the farm? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 for conversation. Kevin O'Reilly of the consumer advocacy group, U.S. PIRG, stays with us. Kevin, I want to get to the farm and agriculture. Farmers say manufacturers have long left them unable to fix their own tractors. What is the situation there?
So you're absolutely right. That's, farmers have been complaining for a while now that the newer equipment that is loaded with a lot of software innovations that are supposed to increase efficiency, increase the farmer's yield, do things like that. As a result, farmers are being locked out of fixing their own tractor, right? And if you are operating on a tight planting or harvesting window, if weather is threatening your crop, you don't have time to wait for the dealer technician to come out and fix it. You want to fix it yourself. But these new software, in particular, software repair restrictions are making it so that farmers are forced to go back to the dealer. They're forced to wait sometimes weeks or as long as a month to get their tractor fixed. And that's simply not an option.
And I'm thinking about combines here in particular, super expensive, super digital and tricked out, and just enormous combines. So what is like a situation that you have heard about that farmers might face with a combine in particular?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. Combines can run, you know, $500,000 or more. And the idea that a farmer who's paid that much can't fix their own stuff is really a nightmare. You know, one example that I'll point to that actually has to deal with a fertilizer spreader, there's Jared Wilson is a farmer in Missouri who a couple years back was, you know, in a situation where he had a tight window because of early spring rains and he had to only so much time that he could get fertilizer in the ground. his hydraulic system had an issue. His tractor threw an error code, and basically his tractor derated, went into what they call limp mode, which was he could only basically limp the tractor off the field until a fix was implemented. Because he didn't have access to the right repair tools, to the right diagnostic systems, he wasn't able to do it himself, and he had to drive his fertilizer spreader into the dealership. It sat there 32 days before it finally got fixed. He estimates that cost him something like $30,000 to $60,000 because of the time he couldn't get seed in the ground. And he was frustrated. It turned out it was just a simple valve that if he had the right schematics and the right diagrams and access to the right parts, he believes he could have done it himself and got back up and running within a week.
What have you seen out of John Deere in particular? Because there was some movement there. John Deere had said, you know, we're going to change, but then it didn't come to fruition.
Yeah. So, you know, back in 2018, group of manufacturers, including John Deere, pledged to make all these tools available to farmers starting at the beginning of this year. And as a part of a report I wrote during the headlights and some reporting from Vice, we found out that they weren't living up to their commitment. They weren't providing access to the necessary diagnostic tools. Now, they've started to provide access to certain diagnostic tools, but still farmers are reliant on the dealer because they don't have access to everything they need. In particular, they don't have access to certain software tools that are required to authorize a repair once it's made. So even if the farmer goes in, makes a mechanical fix with, you know, a hammer and a wrench and figures it out, they simply just don't have the software key to make sure that their tractor accepts the repair and can be put back into work. So that means that they're still on the hook. They're still required to pay whatever the manufacturer wants to charge them, and they're still forced to wait as long as the manufacturer wants to make them wait.
Really quickly here, we only have a few seconds, but, you know, manufacturers say, look, this could harm intellectual property. There's a risk for the people trying to fix these machines. What do you say to that?
Well, I turned to the FTC for this. In a report they released back in May when they investigated right to repair and some of those concerns, they said that they found scant evidence to support restrictions on repair. Hmm. It turns out that those things just aren't real, and we need to let people fix their stuff.
Kevin O'Reilly with us, U.S. Public Interest Research Group that has led a campaign pushing for right to repair. We'll pick this up ahead. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. We're looking at the future repair and maintenance for all the gadgets in our lives here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now let's take a moment to check in on our year-end membership drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with the Rob Ferret of Central Time. Hello.
Hey, Kate.
And we're here to say that this year-end member drive thinks about how much you've learned from and enjoyed WPR programs in 2021. And with the new year around the corner, take action. Give the programs you rely on a strong start in the new year at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A lot of great reasons to give right now. Last drive of 2021, last weekday of the drive. Do the math. That means it's your last chance to give during the morning show. Make your gift if you appreciate starting your day with Kate each and every morning. Extra reason to give. A dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from current members, including Gene from Madison, who loves WPR. We're about halfway to that $3,000 match. Your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 turns into $200, and so on. Take advantage of the match on this last weekday of the drive. Double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Such an interesting conversation here on right to repair, what the manufacturers are doing on this front, what policy is headed our way, legislation. But the coolest thing is when we get to hear questions and perspectives from all of the people around Wisconsin and beyond listening and making this a conversation. These are the kinds of discussions you count on from The Morning Show.
WPR is listener supported. That means your donation makes The Morning Show happen, makes all these topics possible. Choose an amount that works for you. Then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And everyone should make the gift that works for them. And for you, that may be a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
Maybe that's what you pay for something like your cable or the family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every day. Put a value on it, like other things that are important to you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Joy.
I'm Scott.
And
we're from
Madison.
Madison.
We became sustaining members because we do listen to it every day. We really appreciate it. We thought this is something we want to make sure continues. We are now fixed incomers, but we enjoy this station. It's one of the highlights. I couldn't imagine living anywhere without a public radio station.
Consider becoming a sustainer with a regular monthly gift. Visit WPR.org to get started now.
That's right. Go to WPR.org to get started or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation, to get it matched in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rob Ferret. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio right this minute, it keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month, it'll be matched, or $100 a month, we appreciate and count on your gift.
However you choose to give, thank you. Your support really does make a difference. Today, there's still something more you can do to help. Encourage a friend to join the Wisconsin Public Radio community.
And then give your friend a treat, Rob Ferret.
Yeah.
Spread the
reward
love.
Reward them, definitely.
Reward them. Spread the love. Tell your friends and family that you support WPR, and you might inspire them to do the same at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Dollar for dollar match still in effect for just another 20 minutes. There's still room for your gift to be matched, but there is a timeline here. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And by the way, if you're not a sustainer, become one. It is easy to set up. You'll make the ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to provide reliable support for the programs you love.
You count on the Ideas Network for great conversations each and every day. We count on you to help pay for it all. Make your gift. Make it happen. Join the Morning Show team right now. When you give, get it matched dollar for dollar. You can do it in just a few minutes online at WPR.org or call at 888-202-2552. And thank you.
The Federal Trade Commission announced earlier this year, as we were talking about, that it'll ramp up law enforcement against tech companies that make it difficult to repair their devices. And Apple's new self-repair program could be a sign that manufacturers are coming around to allowing us to make some of our own repairs and maintenance on gadgets. What does the right to repair movement mean to you? What have you seen out there? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234 to join in. The consumer advocacy organization US PIRG is lobbying for right to repair, and Kevin O'Reilly stays with us. Kevin, let's turn to medical equipment, and you've done surveying on this and ventilators, other medical equipment. How are manufacturers doing on this front?
So unfortunately, again, we see repair restrictions getting in the way of fixing medical equipment, right? This pandemic has been a moment when the entire healthcare industry should have been coming together to find a way to provide the best care possible to patients. But instead, manufacturers have continued to lock biomedical repair technicians, commonly known as biomeds, out of fixing critical medical equipment like ventilators. So, you know, to your point about the surveying that we've done, we surveyed biomeds during the surge in cases that happened last winter, and we found 76% had been denied access to part or service materials for critical medical equipment, and 80% had equipment that they could not service because of these repair restrictions. So, you know, imagine having a loved one in a hospital who needs a ventilator, but them not being able to get the care they need, not because there aren't ventilators in the hospital, but because some of them are broken and unfixable in a closet and waiting for a manufacturer technician to come out. It's really a tragic outcome, and it's something that, you know, Right to Repair would go a long way to fix.
Has this always been the case? Was, you know, is this something that has been common for hospitals to deal with along the way?
It hasn't always been the case. It's been a rising problem as software has worked its way into everything we use, including medical equipment. Software is often kind of the mechanism that manufacturers can use to ensure that only their technicians can get access to, you know, necessary repair information, be able to make the fix themselves. You know, many of these biomeds that I've spoken to have been doing this for decades and have worked on this equipment, have a lot of experience in doing it. And now they're forced to just sit on their hands because their shirt doesn't have the name of the manufacturer on it.
What is the ripple effect on healthcare costs?
Absolutely. Cost is an important aspect here. So, you know, in talking to biomeds, they estimate that being able to do service in-house versus being forced to go back to the manufacturer can be 3 to 5 times cheaper if they can actually do it in-house. Now, to give you kind of a sense of scale there, if you're dealing with a $1 million MRI machine, being able to service it with your own biomeds that you have on staff could save $100,000 a year. And that's just for one machine. Imagine if you were able to stretch that across all the different pieces of equipment across the hospital. It would be a huge dent.
I want to step back for a moment because keeping your devices going on day to day and out of the landfill is one thing, but some critics say, look, the bigger issue here isn't the threat of these devices failing, but the marketplace of new and improved stuff out there. Like, who needs to think about repairs when you're lured by the latest upgrade on that iPhone, which is being promoted, having a way better camera? How do you feel about that competing issue?
So I think that, for one, to some degree, it feels like the new phones that come out just have a bigger screen and a better camera. But wouldn't it be great if you could, instead of having to go buy a whole new device, what if you could just upgrade your camera? What if you could just upgrade the sound system in it? What if you could add the new memory or the faster processor? That would require far less waste and still provide consumers with the opportunity to take advantage of the new technological developments that come. And that's the future that I want to live in. And that's one that I think we can start to move towards with Right to Repair.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Kevin O'Reilly, who is director of the U.S. Public Interest Research Group's Right to Repair campaign. Join in with your thoughts about Right to Repair and where you want to see legislation and policy move on this front. 800-642-1234. Kevin, we briefly touched on e-waste. How much does, you know, a manufacturer's insistence on making products with a more limited use of life, how does that contribute to what is being made into e-waste, what is being landfilled?
The short answer is that it means that e-waste has become the fastest growing part of our waste stream, and it's becoming a bigger and bigger problem. So, you know, Americans throw away 416,000 cell phones every single day. That's a lot of cell phones, and that's a huge problem. If we're able to, you know, buy through repair, through refurbishment, if we're able to hold on to those phones for a year longer on average, the emissions reduction equivalent would be like taking 636,000 cars off the road for a year. Hmm. So there, the environmental argument for repair, for refurbishment, for reuse is really strong, and it's a really important part of this campaign and why we're pushing so hard for this change.
Looking at policy legislation all over the nation, not happening here in Wisconsin, but you are seeing 27 states considering legislation on Right to Repair. What's going on nationwide here?
We're just seeing more and more decision makers, more and more constituents calling for this change. I think this is a broadly popular initiative. It's something that polling has shown is supported across the ideological spectrum, whether you're a registered Republican, you're an independent, or you're a registered Democrat. Folks just want to fix their stuff. And policymakers are catching wind of that and understanding that. And that's why you see more and more people taking up the charge to try and pass legislation. You know, it is an uphill battle because the manufacturers who oppose this have a significant vested interest in making sure that they can continue to monopolize repair and, you know, gain all the revenue that comes along with that. But folks are getting louder and louder, and I think we're getting closer and closer to a win.
But I was looking at, you know, a lot of this is tailored legislation. What in particular are these bills targeting when it comes to right to repair? Because right to repair is very vast.
Absolutely. So there's, you know, a few key elements, right? So first of all, consumers need to have parts or access to tools. Some manufacturers make, you know, special screws that require a particular screwdriver to open up your phone. You need to have access to that. You need to have access to spare and replacement parts so that you can get the job done yourself. And you need to have access to information like diagrams, schematics, repair manuals, as well as these really important and increasingly important software keys that are required to diagnose problems and authorize repairs once they're made. So this legislation is targeted at making sure that those things are available at a fair and reasonable price to both consumers and to third-party fixers.
What happens to warranties, do you envision, if right to repair really takes hold?
Well, for one, you know, it's important to note that under current law, a manufacturer cannot void your warranty if you seek independent repair of a device. But, you know, I think that people, if they have a malfunction with their device and it's covered by warranty, they'll probably still go back to the manufacturer to get that thing fixed because, you know, it's free. They don't have to worry about it. But I think that, you know, hopefully we'll see more enforcement because many manufacturers, we've actually done, you know, studies and research in a report called Warranties in the Void, where we found that 45 out of 50 appliance manufacturers were threatened to void warranties if you saw independent repair, despite the fact that law prevents them from doing so. So I think that hopefully we'll see less of those kind of threats and we'll see more access to independent repair.
Massachusetts is one of those states with right to repair laws. As you study what's going on there, have things changed at all? What is different now with Massachusetts versus states that don't have these laws?
Right. Well, Massachusetts in particular has automotive right to repair laws, right? And when that initially passed back in 2012, manufacturers came to the table. They didn't want to deal with different regulations popping up in each state. So they signed an agreement to basically make the Massachusetts law apply across the country. And that's why we can go to, you know, your mechanic on the corner to get things fixed. We have very much modeled our approach on that successful approach. And we've seen with that 2012 ballot measure, as well as a follow-up ballot measure that was approved with something like 76% of the vote in 2020. This is just continues to be a popular issue. So we keep pushing and trying to repeat those results.
So for lawmakers out there listening to this, where do they start with policy? Where do they start in writing this legislation? What would you suggest?
Well, the first place to go is the Repair Association. So repair.org is the group that represents hundreds of independent repair shops across the country and really kind of convenes the coalition that's pushing for right to repair. On their website, they have sample legislation that goes through and lays out all of the, you know, what should be included to make sure that folks have access to what they need to fix their stuff. And turning to that it's really great resources and is the kind of template for much of the bills that we've seen introduced across the country.
What is the next step for your campaign?
We're just continuing to push everywhere we can. You know, we're excited for the new state legislative session that will be beginning at the beginning of the year. We're seeing more excitement about the issue in the halls of Congress. We're continuing to, you know, work with the FTC to advance rulemaking and other ways to enshrine right to repair in law. So we're going to continue to push on all fronts and really not rest until right to repair is the law of the land and people have what they need to fix their stuff in their hands.
Very quickly, because we're very short on time, did Biden's executive order in July really get things going, or do you feel like that was just kind of laying the groundwork? What was the impact there?
I mean, in short, it was huge, right? There's been a lot of work that built up to that, but that was a watershed moment showing that we had the support of the White House on this campaign. And I think it's really opened up a lot of the opportunities that you're seeing today.
Kevin, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kate. I really appreciate it.
Kevin O'Reilly directs the U.S. Public Interest Research Group's Right to Repair campaign. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. You're with us for The Morning Show, and it is the year-end membership drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I'm here with the one and only Rob Ferret. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Kate.
We're here to say your support is vital to all the programs on WPR. It is the largest source of funding. So take a few minutes right now to support the programs you count on with your year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now we have this dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,000 in effect right now from current members, including Gene, a supporter in Madison who loves WPR, doubling every dollar you give. Here's the deal right now. We are perched on the edge of, like, literally the next person who makes a gift right now is going to be the one that puts us over, I think. So you could be the one. You could help us hit this challenge, match this challenge. You can make that difference right now when you go online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
We've had this really fascinating conversation about the Right to Repair movement and what in particular it means for our lives, for our industries, for everything that's just chock full of electric gadgets that are all around us. These are the kinds of conversations you count on from The Morning Show.
WPR is listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 made this conversation possible, makes the wide variety of conversations you tune in for every day on The Morning Show possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
And during this year-end member drive, let the impact of your donation go beyond the WPR programs that you love. So ask for one of the food bank thank you gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month.
When you do that, you're going to power the essential news and quality entertainment you count on and provide hunger relief to people in your community. Get started now when you give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
I wake up to Wisconsin Public Radio. The alarm goes off. It's better than a snooze alarm for me because I get to hear a lot of interesting things, especially in the car. If it's not public radio, I'll turn on some golden oldies for a while, but that gets, then you heard the same song 75,000 times, you get tired of it. Maybe try some country western, but mostly I keep going back to public radio because there's always new stuff. I'm John Ink from Wausau, Wisconsin, and I listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, and it is my source for a clear view of the world.
Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rob Ferret. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you rely on. And that's why your support during this year-end member drive is so critical. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or you set it at $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Great news. Just in the last couple few minutes, we hit that challenge. Thank you so much to everyone who gave. Still time for you to give. Keep that momentum going. Your last few literally minutes to give during the morning show on this last drive of 2021. Make your gift right now. If you listen to Kate each and every morning, make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Or if you listen to Rob in the afternoon.
Who?
Bye. On Wisconsin Public Radio, you get programs that inform and inspire you, programs that entertain you, engage you, any time of the day or night.
And you know what makes it all possible? It's you. People who contribute make WPR happen.
Your gift of $100 or $10 a month, whatever amount you set it at, it makes a difference at WPR.org or 888 888- 202-252.
Hey, as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, five lucky people will win $250 to spend on unique items at Etsy.com. Mm-hmm. Give now, WPR.org, or 888-202-2552 to get automatically entered. Sustainers, if you're already making those ongoing monthly gifts, you're already going to be automatically entered.
And if you are not a sustainer, become one right now. Super easy to set up monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. Always current at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And this is really a great way to provide ongoing support for the programs that you love.
Judith in Milwaukee says, I support WPR's reliability. Well, Judith, thank you so much. The way to keep us reliable is to remember that we rely on you. So make your gift right now. Any amount does make a difference. Any amount will contribute to the future of Wisconsin Public Radio. Take just a few minutes right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support.